Welcome in, Lineup Logic fans, to the January 18th, 2019 edition of the Fantasy Fast Break. This is your host, Spartanzilla, coming back to you after a little bit of a hiatus there. We're going to walk you through the Friday night in the National Basketball Association. We're going to go game by game like we usually do, give you the Vegas totals, give you the spreads, and we started something last week where we kind of set the stage with the injuries, so we'll go through that, discussing some of the key injuries across the association. So we'll go through that, and then we will build a lineup. This week we're going to switch it up. We're going to do one lineup on FanDuel and one lineup on DraftKings at the end of the day, so stay tuned for that. As always, goes without mentioning, folks that are listening to the podcast and enjoy the podcast, if you'd like and review it in your medium of choice, iTunes or Stitcher or Spotify, wherever you listen to it, give a review, give a rating. Let me know feedback-wise if you like the content we're putting out there. It's always great to hear from all of you. And then from a broader perspective, those folks interested in what the Lineup Logic community has to offer, it's only $10 a month. It's going to get you access to Slack. It's going to get you access to a bunch of tools and tricks, excuse me, and tips and different things associated with the Lineup Logic community. It's a great community. Patreon.com/lineuplogic, $10 a month gets you access to all that across all platforms, all sports, and a great group of guys that you'll interact with through that medium. So again, $10 a month. Patreon.com/lineuplogic gets you in and become a patron. So with that, we're going to break these games down. We're going to have a good time with it. And hopefully you all enjoy this podcast. We'll start as we did last week when we dropped the podcast. And we're going to talk a little bit about a few of the injuries that are going to shape your Friday night in the National Basketball Association from a DFS perspective. Looking at the landscape, I see a few that come to mind. In Cleveland, in the woeful, and I mean woeful Cavs right now, Tristan Thompson's already been ruled out, so that opens up some minutes there in Cleveland, and we'll talk about that when we get to that game. Tyus Jones out for the Timberwolves indefinitely, and you say, well, Tyus Jones isn't the star, but him out of the rotation means more minutes for Derrick Rose and Jeff Teague, so that's something to be mindful of. And Minneapolis with the T-Wolves coming off that basic embarrassment they suffered in one of their last games out. Mo Harkless up in Portland, also something to be mindful of. Again, not a star player, but a starter and a rotation player for the Trailblazers. And with him out, obviously that impacts guys like an Evan Turner and the Portland rotation up there and some of the bigs, you know, Jake Layman. Maybe Zach Collins gets a little bit more run in the absence of Mo Harkless. Maybe their rotations switched up, and they've been Mo Harkless has been in and out of the lineup there for Portland. On a seven-game slate, that's sort of where I see some of the bigger injuries that are going to help define that. Again, this is being taped the night before. This is taped on a Thursday night. So things are always subject to change, so be mindful of all of that as you build your lineups. The tool I use, obviously, is the Twitter machine, the good old Twitter, to kind of track beat writers across the league, track different accounts that have a lot of NBA insider goodness. So, obviously, you know, the big names, places like ESPN with Adrian Wojnarowski, he a lot of times has information, insight. Beat writers, like one of my favorites here in the Michigan area, and Rod Beard for the Detroit Pistons always is a good read. And there's a plethora of people across the NBA landscape that you can find on Twitter. Maybe we'll try to get that posted in Slack potentially of some of the top beat writers, and some of those patrons might be able to get a look at what kind of I might look at or some of the others might look at in terms of getting news and information throughout the day. Let's go into the game-by-game breakdown now, and we will start in the Magic Kingdom, the Orlando Magic are going to be hosting those wily, wily Brooklyn Nets. The over-under is 216. Brooklyn, one-point favorite. Brooklyn is really coming on. A really young, fun team to watch. Play very competitively. I wouldn't be surprised if we get to mid to late March, if Brooklyn's not in the thick in the East trying to make the playoffs. But we're kind of concerned about the 18th of January and DFS and right now. And so when I look at Brooklyn, my main exposure from Brooklyn is probably going to come in the form of D'Angelo Russell, Jared Allen, Spencer Dinwiddie, and Joe Harris. And maybe might sprinkle in Ed Davis. So they've got a lot of usable parts, reasonably priced across both sites. But Harris, Allen, Dinwiddie, kind of the main cogs in the wheel for me on the Brooklyn side of the ball. I don't even mind DeMar Carroll. So I actually really like Brooklyn, what they do, rotationally what they do. Again, they play hard, they play defense, they play to the end. So they are a team to watch, a team on the rise, even after making all those kind of boneheaded trades in the last several years. On the Orlando side of the ball, Orlando, I think, has one big too many. I know Mo Bamba, we talk about injuries. Mo Bamba not really too much in the rotation, and he's, I think, questionable for tomorrow. But they've got to probably make a move, I think, going forward to get some of these young players some access. I hear Nick Vucevic is on the block, but I think management in Orlando has actually got the edict to make the playoffs this year. So especially with LeBron out of the East, everybody thinks they can get in the Eastern Conference playoffs and do something. So while he's still there, Nick Vucevic is obviously very viable in this game against Brooklyn. It'll be a little bit of a pace up for the Magic. And Aaron Gordon, also a guy who's a little bit enigmatic. I don't trust him a whole lot. And on FanDuel, he's 7,200. So he might be a bit of a stay away there. I'm going to go over to DraftKings and get his DraftKings price, which is 6,400. So a little bit more palatable. So Gordon's only exposure to him would be on a site like DraftKings. So Brooklyn, Orlando, a lot of parts of Brooklyn, maybe not running it back with anything more than Gordon and Vooch. Not really on the backcourt in Orlando. And Jonathan Isaac was a guy I wanted to play early on, but he's probably a year away from really making a meaningful impact. And we talk about Mo Bamba, but he's, you know, on the shelf. And again, not really a part of their short-term plans. I think he's part of their long-term plans. When we move to our next game, it's the Boston Celtics coming off the big win on Wednesday night, hosting the Memphis Grizzlies. The over-under, 205.5. Boston is a big 10.5-point favorite. So with Memphis here, a lot of swirling winds about what they might do with with Mark Gasol. I even heard a funny thing with Mark Gasol maybe being traded to San Antonio for his brother again, like he was way back when Mark found his way to Memphis in that trade that got Powell to the Lakers. But you know, winds swirling around there. They've got young talent in Memphis in the form of one of my favorites, as you know, if you've listened to the podcast, Jaren Jackson Jr. So in this matchup against Boston, Vegas doesn't think it's going to be close. I tend to agree with Vegas on this one. Memphis side of the ball, you could always play Mike Conley going up. You know, he's going to be going up against Kyrie and probably wanting to show out a little bit. So don't mind Conley. Again, Gasol, he had a bit of an injury earlier in the week. He played against Milwaukee, but it was, you know, mainly the blowout city there. Boston getting a little healthy, and Horford's back, and Baines is back. So, but I still don't mind Gasol. Jermichael Green, is priced affordable on DraftKings at 5,300. But doesn't provide you with a whole lot of upside. So he's not a guy I'm really looking at. And as much as I love this kid, and I think he's going to be a very solid player, and maybe even a star player in the league, I got to stay away from Jaren Jackson Jr. in this Boston matchup. So really, it's just Gasol and Conley on the Memphis side of the ball. Moving over to Boston, Kyrie setting a record there in that big win against Toronto on Wednesday, you know, his career high in, of 18 assists. If he's going to play like that, Boston's going to be very formidable. Because of the blowout factor, I don't know if I'm necessarily – and the price, if I look at DraftKings, Kyrie is a whopping, you know, 9K. Whopping may be a little strong, but Kyrie at 9K against Memphis, I'll pass. Gordon Hayward looks like he's maybe turning the corner. He's a way you could look at 5,400. Don't necessarily mind the price. Jason Tatum, you know, trying to figure it out in his sophomore season. Played well in the big matchup there on Wednesday night. I don't mind him if you're looking for some Boston exposure. The Morris twin, Mr. Marcus Morris, you know, rotational guy, salary saver 5,200, but there's other plays even on the seven-game slate. Jaylen Brown's another guy, 4,300. He may get some run because it could be blowout city here. And so I don't mind Jaylen Brown here as well. So really probably staying away from Kyrie. Go Tatum and go Brown in this one. Obviously with Kyrie healthy, we don't need to play Rozier, even in a blowout sense. You know, scary Terry, not one that I think you got to put in your rosters on Friday night. We'll move on to the Motor City and my favorite team in the association, the Detroit Pistons, hosting Dwayne Wade in the Miami Heat. And Dwayne's last trip to the Motor City as an NBA player. The over-under is 207.5. Detroit, shockingly, because they haven't played the greatest basketball over the last 10 games, but they are favorites at home, two-point favorites. On the Miami side of the ball, Justice Winslow with an injury to Goran Dragic. You know, he's been out for a while, so we didn't mention him up front, but again, if you've been playing, you know, obviously know Dragic is out. With his injury, Winslow running a little bit of the point guard situation, kind of point forward situation. He's 6,800. I really like him in this matchup against Detroit because, you know, they'll need him to keep this competitive. And his usage has gone up with the injury to Dragic. Josh Richardson's another part to the Miami offense and attack. You can look his way as well. And then, you know, the bigs for Miami, Hassan Whiteside and Bam Adebayo. I really probably roster Adebayo more than most because I'm a believer in the talent and a believer of when he gets the minutes, his production. You know, you got to throw out the last game against Milwaukee. It was just a blowout situation. But Bam at 4,700, you know, if he can see the floor for 25 minutes, I would take that all day because I think he can definitely get a fantasy point a minute in that situation. And I like that at a 4,700. Whiteside may be up to the challenge against Dre Drummond. And so he's 6,500, pretty cheap. You know, he's a bit of a head case, so you've got to factor that in. But I think he'll get up for the matchup against Mr. Drummond. If I look at Whiteside over the last 10 days, he's averaging about 30 fantasy points a game. So don't mind him going against Dre Drummond. So Miami, Winslow, Whiteside, and maybe Bam to round it out. Richardson, we talked about a little bit, and Wade in his swan song. You could go there. He's sub 5K. Yeah, if you believe in some sort of swan song narrative, maybe Dwayne Wade. I'm probably not going to play him in that game. I don't even think I'm going to go to this game. So that's kind of it for Miami. With Detroit, I am really disappointed in the season they're having. Reggie Jackson looks totally, absolutely lost. He's a guy they probably need to deal. But again, his value is sort of in the rock bottom tank. So not sure where they can deal Mr. Jackson too. Ish Smith is questionable with a strain. So we'll see. You know, he played in the last matchup the Pistons had. Realistically, from Detroit, if you're playing any Detroit pieces, it's Blake Griffin who's playing at an all-star level. You know, he's coming off a bit of a up and down road trip, punctuated by the big FU game out in LA, going up against the Clippers, and the GIF worthy footage of him and him blowing off Steve Ballmer. So Griffin is where it stops and starts for Detroit. I mean, they run their offense through him. He runs a basically runs the offense as kind of a point forward in a lot of their sets. So Blake Griffin at sub 9K on DraftKings, I will take a dose of Blake. Dre Drummond is also sub 9K in this matchup. He's 8,400. Don't mind him going up against Whiteside. I think he think he's slit for probably a 15-15 type game. Drummond and Blake, realistically, where you should probably just keep your exposure to in Detroit. You know, you've got guys like Reggie Bullock who can get hot now and then from the outside. He's a great shooter. On FanDuel, he's 5K, so he's a piece you can use, but Bruce Brown was a thing. I mean, he's getting started a run, but I don't love rostering him. Maybe on FanDuel, he's your punt play. But, I think even on a seven-game slate, you probably don't have to go as far as Bruce Brown, nor Langston Galloway or any of the sort of the guards for Detroit. So keep it to Dre. Keep it to Blake if you're going to play Pistons, and move about your business. All right, let's move on to Minneapolis, where the Minnesota Timberwolves are hosting the resurgent San Antonio Spurs. The over-under is 225. Minnesota is a one-point home favorite. The Spurs, for me, the best plays that you want to put in your player pool are obviously DeRozan and Aldridge. But the guy who I really have begun to roster a lot and I think is a super productive player, that's Derek White as a point guard, second-year man. He is a kind of a do-everything point guard for them. With their injury to Dejounte Murray, that opened up some opportunity for White. He seized the opportunity. He is a solid performer. He has a decent floor almost every night. Looking in his last 10 matchups, a couple that stand out. Going up against OKC about a week ago, he put up 48 points. Against Charlotte just 3 days ago, he put up 36 points. So the guy is performing, I think, quietly for San Antonio. So White, DeRozan, Aldridge, definitely like, another guy that if you're looking to dumpster dive in this matchup, Marco Bellinelli is also a character you can add. He's 4,100 on FanDuel, so he's close to a punt. He's not a full punt, but Bellinelli, Rudy Gay's back, but not the biggest Rudy Gay fan just yet. I don't know if he's 100% right with, I think he had a wrist injury. So for me, White, DeRozan, Aldridge, that's the way to go from San Antonio. If you want to run it back and you look at Minnesota, boy, Karl-Anthony Towns, he is a talented player, but Jimmy Butler is all in his head. That game against Philly was just not a good look for him and for Wiggins. And then you have the, after the game, Instagrams and tweets from Embiid and Butler. They are they just punked Minnesota big time. And I think there's one more matchup between the T-Wolves and the 76ers. And so we'll want to keep that circled on the calendar. I think it's a March date between the two teams. And maybe the young guys show up. But, boy, it looked like Butler made the right decision to weasel his way out of Minneapolis because I just don't know if the young guys have it in them. But for DFS purposes, we don't care about heart. We just care about numbers and stats. Towns is sub 10K on DK, so don't mind him in this matchup. Wiggins is a fan of the coach, so he's going to get all the run he could ever want. And so Wiggins, not a bad play at 6K even on DK. We mentioned with the injuries at the beginning with Tyus Jones' injury, obviously Rose and Teague are going to split all the backcourt work and get all the run that they can have. So either one of those players, good to add in your player pool. So Teague, Rose, Wiggins, and Cat, and then move about your business for this matchup. And it's a sneaky matchup at 225, so be mindful of that as you're building on Friday. Let's go out west further. And the Cleveland Cavaliers are going to Salt Lake City to take on the Utah Jazz. The over-under is 214.5. Utah is a massive 15-point favorite. And that might be that might not even be enough because Cleveland's bad. You know, I know we have listeners in Cleveland. You guys have enjoyed a great run. You had one of the probably five best players ever to lace them up play in your city for a long, long time. So now some comeuppance, and yeah, you guys are bad. And so we talked about Thompson at the top of the show with his injury. So that opens up some usage and some minutes for some other Cleveland bigs, but I'm not really on Ante Zizic. But the usage goes up with Thompson off the floor for Jordan Clarkson, and he's one of these players kind of in the Zach LaVine mode. He has never seen a shot he doesn't like. He will take a lot of shots. And so in this matchup against Utah, don't mind Jordan Clarkson. And, you know, narratives have been a thing all season in terms of people talking about narratives. We just got them talking about Sixers and T-Wolves and Jimmy Butler and the revenge factor all there. Alec Burks going back to Utah, a team that dealt him out to Cleveland. He's only 4,800 on DraftKings. I really don't mind putting him into my lineups on Friday, you know, because basketball, you know, like a lot of sports, but basketball especially, you know, when you've got that chance, you get the ball in your hand and chance, there's only five guys on the court, really can make a difference. And you really, you know, can be driven by emotion in a lot of ways. And so I think Burks going back to Utah, they kind of cast him aside. He's gonna show out. So Cleveland, it's Clarkson, it's Burks, and that's it. You really shouldn't be playing anyone else from Cleveland. I mean, Rodney Hood also is going back, but I think Burks has got a bit more role, as is with the Cavs. Hood has come on in the last couple, so we'll see. Okay, if we're gonna go narratives, all right, we'll throw Hood in the mix too. Why not? He's going back to Utah as well. So Hood and Burks for revenge narrative. Clarkson's just because he likes to fill it up. And please don't play a lot of Cavs. Please don't play a lot of Cavs. On the Utah side of the ball, with all their injuries to the backcourt, Rubio and Neto, it has opened up and unlocked the cheat code that is Donovan Mitchell. He is 9,000 on FanDuel. If I go over to DraftKings, he's just under 9,000, 8,900. I don't mind him at all, even with a blowout potential. I think he can get you, I'm going to say, comfortably a floor of 30 points on either site, upside to get you in the 40s, mid-40s. So I like starting my roster builds with one Donovan Mitchell. Rudy Gobert is this is not even really going to be a fair matchup for him, but Gobert very much in play, even in the limited time. I think he's going to get a limited run. I think he can get his production and go sit down and ice the knees in this one in the fourth quarter. Jay Crowder and Joe Ingles, both also okay plays here in the Utah side of the ball, but just be mindful of the blowout factor. Your safest play is Mitchell, then followed by Gobert, and then some of the other pieces you can play, but just be mindful of that big spread there with Utah being the favorite, and I really do think it's a blowout. So let's move on to one of my favorite cities in a rematch of the first-round playoff series last year that I got to go to. That's the New Orleans Pelicans going up to Portland to take on the Trail Blazers. Really big over-under here, 233.5. Portland, 3-point home favorites. On the New Orleans side of the ball, Nikola Mirotic is back in the fold, and so that diminishes the usage for guys like Julius Randle and a little bit of Jrue Holiday. Elfrid Payton has also come back, and he's in. So their starting five is all viable in this one. Obviously, led by Anthony Davis, MVP candidate. We all know about AD. We know about his kind of checkered injury history as well. But AD going up to Portland, they had no answer for him last spring. And again, I really don't know where they go defensively, who they put on Davis to try and stop him in this matchup. So he is exceedingly pricey. He's 11.7 on DK. So that's okay. I mean, I think you can work with that, and you can still build around Anthony Davis over there. But on FanDuel, he is a whopping 13.8. So really tough there. I mean, on FanDuel, you're looking at he needs to get 70, he's got to get about 65 to 70 FanDuel points to 5x that salary. And you basically need that if you're going to spend that much of your salary cap on Mr. Davis. So definitely think Davis is more of a DK play than a FanDuel play. But, he's going to be a high-owned player, even at that price point, because it is a pace-up matchup. Well, New Orleans plays high in pace anyway, but it should be a bit of a back-and-forth game. And, again, he ate these guys up last year in the postseason. Mentioned Julius Randle and Nico. You can play any of those guys. If you're going to run it back and then look on the Portland side of the ball, could be a Nurk alert. Mr. Yusuf Nurkic really has come on. They've run a lot of offense in Portland for him. Because I think Dame Lillard might be a little banged up. He's dealing with elbow injury. But they're using Nurkic. They're realizing what the talent they have there. The question always with him is foul trouble. But I'm not really so much concerned about that. FanDuel, he's only 9K. Go ahead and put in the Nurk in your lineups. And then also, Dame. CJ McCollum still trying to figure out his shot this season, it appears. But if you're looking to stack the game, if you can make it work, parts and pieces from New Orleans, and then Dame, CJ, Evan Turner, basically you're going to want to watch the Moharkless news, and Turner's a nice salary saver if you really want to go stack this. Or definitely if you're looking for the late night hammer, this is a 10:30 Eastern start. New Orleans, Portland, not a bad way to go. It'll be a little different because the next game we're going to talk about has the highest over-under of the slate. And some folks may not be so keen on – I don't think a lot of folks roster Trailblazers, so ownership should be down on them. And New Orleans is New Orleans, and they sort of have – outside of Davis, they sort of have general ownership if you look at most of the trends. So. We will move on to that last game of the night. The Golden State Warriors, who are looking in their championship self, going to LA to take on the Clippers. The over-under whopping 241.5, just a huge over-under, huge total. Golden State 6-point favorites. The key component in this one is it's supposed to be the return to the court of one Boogie Cousins, which if he is even 60% of the player that he's been in the past historically, just forget about it. Season's over. The Warriors are going to win this thing again, and start thinking about next year, because it just doesn't make sense. If he's healthy, you have a starting five that's all five All-Stars, and it's just ridiculous. Vegas likes this game tomorrow to be relatively close. I don't even know if I think it's going to be that close, because I think the Clippers are a little bit running out of gas and just kind of trying to get themselves to the All-Star break. So, but if you're looking for pieces here, I wouldn't go with Boogie just yet. We got to see how he's going to integrate into the rest of the dream team that is the Golden State Warriors. But Draymond has come on of late. Steph and KD, I mean, they're in the top five players in the league. You can roster them pretty much any night. Their price isn't all that prohibitive. I mean, Steph is 10-4. I don't mind paying that on FanDuel. Durant's 10-6. That one you got to think about a little bit more, but he can probably 5X. It just kind of depends on game situation. Clay is always a good play at 7,200. He's probably the best of those three in terms of a price per dollar play, along with Draymond. So probably in order of magnitude what you need to roster on Golden State, I'd say Draymond, and that is no Michigan State bias. It's just the guys playing well. So Draymond, Clay, Steph, then KD. And then we see what happens with Boogie there. On the Clipper side of the ball, Montrezl Harrell in a pace-up game, he can get a lot of rebounds, kind of some cheap rebounds. So don't mind him. Tobias Harris, also a good player, also in a good spot, in the pace-up spot there. Don't mind Tobias Harris. Lou Williams, always dangerous in this sort of matchup, back and forth. Don't mind him. Not really on Avery Bradley or Pat Beverly. Maybe this is a spot, and I know he's, kind of hitting the wall a bit, but maybe this is an SGA spot, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He's kind of falling a little bit out of favor. His minutes are trending down, but, it's a pace-up spot. You can do worse. He could be your punt on FanDuel at 3,600, so be on the watch out for SGA. He's I'm not saying you gotta, start your build with him, but you could do worse at a punt in a game that's gonna be pace up. So that is and there's one more guy I should have mentioned for the Clippers, Mr. Danilo Gallinari. 7,200 pace up spot. You can go with him for sure, in this one as well. So that is the game-by-game breakdown. Seven games, very good size to play, a couple different ways you want to look. The two late-night hammers have the biggest totals, so you can look there to differentiate a little bit. But again, something like Golden State LA may be a very chalky matchup, so be mindful of that as you construct your rosters. So that being said, let us start with FanDuel and build a lineup on FanDuel. So I'm going to start. Let's start in that late night. Let's start in that late night hammer. Mentioned this guy. He's a part of the player pool. By the way, all those names I mentioned to you should be a part of your massive player pool. And then obviously you want to pare down as the day goes on. But he is a star. He is one of the better point guards in the league. It's a pace-up spot. So give me Dame Lillard at 9,800. Put him in the squad here. Talk this guy up a lot. Like his talent. Like the matchup he has. Derek White, I'm going to put you at the other point guard spot for 5,900. You join the squad. Let's go back out to the New Orleans-Portland matchup, because I want to get a small forward in here. Yes, I found him. I'm going to put in one and only Nico Mirotic. And let's just go ham. Let's put some more New Orleans, Portland in this one. And let's go in the center spot. Let's put Julius Randle in, 7,800. So got a lot of New Orleans and Portland there. Talked about this guy, power forward. Let's get him in there. My guy, gotta stay on brand, baby. Spartan Gog, Draymond Green, 7,600. You join the squad, so I'm put him in there. Centerpiece of this team, gotta put him in. We talked about it. Blowout, be damned. We're gonna go with him. Donovan Mitchell, you join the squad, the Utah Jazz. And then, let's put him in. Revenge narrative. Revenge is best served cold. Let's hope he's not cold, and let's put him in the lineup. Alec Burks, you join the squad. So we got some money left over. We got to fill small forward and power forward. Let's go my punt. I'm going to go back to that New Orleans-Portland game. I'm really on that game. We're going to go Zach Collins. Let's put him in as a punt at 3,600. So, yep, let's put him in at power forward. Okay, and so we have, to fill a small forward spot, we have 5,100. Let's see where we can go. We got a couple guys in this price range. Let's see here. You know what? Let's just make this the revenge narrative deal, huh? Should we do that? I'm looking at two guys here. I'm stuck. For you listeners, I'm stuck between Rudy Gay and Rodney Hood. I'm going to go Rodney Hood. Why not? Boom. It leaves me a lot of money left over. It leaves me $800 left over. Let's just get Hood out of there. You know what? No, I'm going to keep Hood in there. Let's keep Hood in there. And let's figure out that we don't necessarily need a punt. Let's change that up so it gives us 4,400. Do some things. I'm taking Zach Collins out. This would be much easier if I live stream this. I should probably do that next time. All right. So I don't have to truly punt. So you could punt in the way I was going, but let's get this guy. I didn't mention him a lot on the Brooklyn side, and his name is always fun to pronounce. Rodions Carooks. 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 That's his name. Carooks. We've added him in there. 4,400. So we don't have a true punt in this lineup. Let me read it back for you guys from FanDuel. Derek White, Dame Lillard, Donovan Mitchell, Alex Burks, Nikola Mirotic, Rodney Hood, Draymond Green, Carooks from Brooklyn, and Julius Randle. And no money left over. So, you know, you can punt. People have really tried to utilize that punt on FanDuel, and it's a successful strategy if you can do it right. I just, you know, kind of on the fly made a change here in my thought process because I thought, let's get a couple, even in the blowout situation, you know, Cleveland's going to try to keep it competitive for a while. If they keep it competitive, it's got to be Burks and Hood for me. So that's why I wanted to go that way. So that is my FanDuel lineup. Let's go to DraftKings and see what we have there. I'm going to try to go with a lot of the similar players that I did on FanDuel. So let us start at the shooting guard. Even in a blowout, Donovan Mitchell at 8,900. Please join the squad. Let's see. I'm going to go point guard here. Where do I want to go? Yep, I want him. He's a decent price here. Derek White from San Antonio. You join the squad. All right. There's this guy. I'm a small forward. Where are you at? Where are you at, you little such and such? Oh, there he is. Talked about him. Coming to my neck of the woods. Justice Winslow, small forward. You join the squad. Okay. And then in that same game, I'm gonna put him in the middle today. That's what I think I'm going to do. Same game, Blake Griffin. You join the squad. So it leaves me an even, cool 5K per player left. Got four spots to fill. Let's see. Oh, let's do this. You guys are going to accuse me of bias. I know you are, but that's okay. You guys know, man, I love my alma mater. So, but I'm not just building a lineup based on that. I like his performance. It's a high total, highest total of the night. Draymond Green, boom. You join the squad at forward. All right, 43.66 left per player. So let's see what we can do here. What can we do here? We got to get a power forward. Let's go. I talked about this guy a little bit in my player pool. Where are you at? There you are. Mr. Bam Adebayo. Let's get those 20-something minutes. Let's get 25 minutes. Make daddy some money. Put him at power forward. So it leaves me 4,200, and I need a guard and a utility spot. Let's see if I can find this guy. Where are you? Let's see. I'm going to put him in the guard spot. Revenge, Rodney Hood. Boom, you join the squad. Gives me 4,100 for that utility spot. 4,100. Where can I go? A lot of places to go. Let us see here. What do I want to do? Do I want to go as far down as that? No. For you listeners, I was thinking it's the SGA, maybe. But I have more money, so I don't necessarily need to go that low. You know what? Let's do this. Let's get a little crazy with it. I'm going to, on the off chance that he's going to get run in what I think will be a blowout up in Boston, let's go Scary Terry. Why not? I mentioned not necessarily wanting to use him, but I got the money. Let's go Scary Terry. Let's put him in there. Come on, Terry. You join the squad. All right. So on DraftKings, I built a lineup that has Derek White, Donovan Mitchell, Justice Winslow, Bam Adebayo, Blake Griffin, Rodney Hood, Draymond Green, and Terry Rozier with $100 left. So it's a first look, early take at the slate. You guys feel free to talk to me about either of those lineups I built. Again, building those kind of on the fly. So just as a early look at the slate. On Twitter, I'm at Spartanzilla. I have the same moniker within the Slack community. So either way, you can always get at me. If you're doing that in Slack, make sure you highlight me and hit my name, and I'll be able to respond to you quicker that way. Twitter, same kind of thing. Just at me, and I will try to be as responsive as possible. As always, enjoy DFS. Enjoy the Friday night in the National Basketball Association, and we will see you again soon. Once again, from all it is and worth, planet where I stand, same pants, different shirt. Once again, from all it is and worth, planet where I stand, same pants, different shirt. Once again, from all it is and worth, planet where I stand, same pants, different shirt. Once again, from all it is and worth.